Ruth Bader Ginsburg has been hospitalized for surgery for pancreatic cancer. Not much known other than that right now. I'm Ken Duffy, Fox News Radio.
Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Traveler's Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into this edition of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. If you have a teenager or you know of someone who does, or if you're a youth leader working with teens, this broadcast is for you. We're going to be talking today with Dr. Rick Horn. He's written a book called How to Reach Angry, Unmotivated Teens with Biblical Counsel. The name of the book is called Get Out of My Face, and that's certainly a provocative title, certainly a title that has gained a lot of interest out on the Internet. Let me read a couple of the statements that have been made by a couple of folks I'm sure that you're aware of. In fact, all three of these men, Dave Harvey, David Paulson, and Paul David Tripp, have all been on the radio broadcast before, but they've all written endorsements for this book. Dave Harvey says this. He says, Rick Horn knows teens, the kind that won't talk and those that won't stop talking. If you have a teenager, you need this book. In fact, don't wait for the teen years. Arm yourself now with the timeless truths of this book that counsels moms and dads with gospel hope for teenage trials. Here's David Paulson says, how do you reach someone who wants to be unreachable? How do you help someone who is not looking for help? Rick Horn knows from life experience how to do what seems impossible, how to connect with teens. If you care about teenagers, if you work with teens, if you live with a teen, then this book will help you reach their hearts. And then finally, Paul David Tripp writes this. He says, here is wisdom of a man who has experienced the courage and hope that transforming grace can give you in that hard teenager God has placed in your life. This book is a call to action with biblical perspectives and practical steps that God can use to change the teenager and you as well. And so all of these three men, which are, of course, extremely well-respected and noted in their own right, have written tremendously about biblical counseling issues. And like I said, we've had Paul David Tripp on the broadcast numerous times and have always enjoyed the ministry of the other two men as well. Here they're writing some very significant words of endorsement about this latest book. And so with that, let's talk to the author himself and ask the author to expound for us what you would find in this book. Let me tell you, too, I've got copies of the book with me here in the studio. I brought four copies with me. And so if you want to join the conversation, if you want to ask a question or a comment, and you want to call in or contact us, I guess just that way right now since my I don't have connection to the email or to Twitter right now. But if you just want to call in, 1-888-660-WLFJ, that's 1-888-660-9535. I'll go ahead and get your name on one of these books, and we'll get it out to you as soon as possible. If you live here in the area, we'll put it at the front desk right here at Christian Talk 660 WLFJ right on Wade Hampton. And if you live outside the area, we'll go ahead and mail it out to you. With that, let me introduce my guest. Dr. Rick Horn is the Director of Guidance at Delaware County Christian School. He also serves at Columbia International University. He has 30 years' experience in Christian school guidance and counseling, and him and his wife, Betty, have been married 39 years, and they have five married children, nine grandchildren, and one high school senior. With that as a resume, let me go ahead and welcome Dr. Horn into the program today. Dr. Horn, welcome to the Knowing the Truth radio program.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Dr. Horn, if you would, if just give us a little bit of a synopsis, an overall view of why you wrote this book, and maybe even add to that why at this particular time. And then I'm going to make a beeline after the break for your understanding your teen biblically. But if you'd give us a little synopsis to start, that would be wonderful.
Well, sure. One of the things that that I've been impressed with over the years, having gone through undergraduate, graduate, and more graduate and postgraduate work with counseling training, is that most counseling training is arranged for people, whether pastors, youth workers, even parents or counselors, to work with people who think they have a problem and they want a solution. And angry teens, unmotivated teens, either don't have the problem, it's your problem and my problem, it's not theirs, even if they do sense that they have some kind of a concern, they're not going to come to you or me. Typically, they'll want to go to their peers. And so in working with teens over the years, I've had the privilege of making lots of mistakes and experience lots of failure, and at the same time, in the Lord's providence, begin to make some contact with kids and begin to see some principles of God's Word that really are applicable to reaching across those angry wavelengths that that those kind of kids have. Typically, these are kids that don't come to you. So if a youth pastor, a youth worker, a parent wants to communicate, we've got to take the initiative, because they're not going to come to us to take the initiative and say, oh, you know, I've had a bad attitude lately, and I know I've been really angry, but I really want to, I want us to really get together. Not likely. typically speaking, we have to take the initiative. So this book puts tools, biblical tools, I believe, in the hands of parents and counselors that are useful for bridging that gap, to allow the counselor, the parent, to take the initiative and go after the kid rather than have to wait for the kid to come to them.
Now, in the book, Dr. Horn, when you write about these things, you're basically talking about techniques that can be used, and you correct me if I'm wrong, but techniques that you can use, biblical techniques that are given to us primarily in the book of Proverbs, techniques about approaching a teenager. You're basically saying that where we make the mistake very often is not in the content that we have, but in the methodology that we use to initially engage the teenager. Is that a fair assessment?
That is. That's true. The book of Proverbs itself says that the tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouth of a fool gushes folly. It talks about the fact that when it says the tongue of the wise commends knowledge, it means it makes it attractive. It makes it appealing. It's not enough simply to have right content. It has to be displayed and presented in a way that is appealing. It also says in Proverbs chapter 15 that the lips of the wise spread knowledge. And it's not just a matter of spouting it, but there's a skill to spreading it, commending it, making it attractive, making it appealing.
And so the way that's presented is extremely important, because if you start off in the presentation erroneously, if you make a statement that is, for lack of a better term, maybe inflammatory, or maybe even beyond that, maybe even a
judgmental, sure.
Okay, or belligerent. If you say that initially, you're immediately putting up an additional obstacle that now that has to be overcome, as well as the initial issue that you're originally engaging them about.
That's exactly right. Yeah, much of the material that has been written about biblical answers to many of the challenges and temptations and problems that kids face is helpful information. But if you can't, first of all have a bridge of trust and of communication with the teen, you're never going to get a chance to share that. And typically, teenagers are not going to wait for long explanations or give you lots of opportunity to so-called build rapport. They're not going to give you a half an hour of just chit-chat for you to be able to do that. If they're an angry or an unmotivated kid or really just disinterested, they'll turn off a lot more quickly than that.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying that it's critical then to understand how to implement this methodology of breaking down that wall rather than erecting a new one, because
sure.
your window, your time frame here, window of opportunity is going to be very, very narrow.
That's a good term. It's a good expression, a window of opportunity, because you have it with these kids. Well, you don't have it to begin with, but the kind of principles that the book of Proverbs addresses about strategy, and this is a strategic, much of the book is strategic in the sense of how you go about it. You use the word technique. Perhaps that's okay, I guess. I want to be real careful because I want to make sure that we understand that the technique or the strategy isn't the solution.
Mm-hmm.
It's the principles of God's Word, but you can't get to the principles of God's Word if you don't present them with a capable, skillful way, in a skillful manner.
Well, that's an excellent, excellent point, and I want to revisit that just a little bit before we go into that chapter that I was describing a few moments ago, the understanding your teen biblically. But I want to drill down a little bit on what you just said, because some parents might say, well, wait a second, you know, I'm the parent, he's the teen, he should just listen to me no matter what I say or how I say it. You know, anything short of that is disrespectful and those types of thoughts. We'll be back in just a couple minutes. You're invited to join the conversation, 1-888-660-WLFJ. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.
Somehow every single day, somebody says something that connects with me right where I'm at. And you can't get that on secular radio.
We give our listeners good reasons to lock it in here. It's teaching and talk with truth that makes a real impression.
You know, it gives me opportunity to kind of reflect and say, you know what, we're all God's children. So I don't need to be upset. I just need to relax.
Keep your dial right here. You're listening to Christian Talk 660.
It's great pizza for a great price. So pack up the family and head over to Speedy B's near Walmart on Woodruff Road in Greenville. At Speedy B's, you'll find friendly faces and at least a dozen pizzas out at all times. Or you can order a pizza and they'll make it fresh just for you at no extra cost. So visit Speedy B's today.
Hi, this is Pastor Kevin Bowling, and I want to take the time to thank John, Ruth, Carlos, and the good folks over there at Speedy B's Pizza for their support of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
What is the greatest concern in the life of every Christian? It's our standing before God, our judge. Justification through faith alone has been the centerpiece of our faith since the Reformation. Right with God, the doctrine of justification, is the theme for the Philadelphia Conference on Reformed Theology. Speakers include Jerry Bridges, Al Mohler, and more. To register, visit AllianceNet.org or call 1-800-488-1888.
Here's Dr. Everett of Strides Nonprofit Tutoring with another academic tip.
Young people need a lot of free reading to build skills, but some parents worry that their child chooses books that are too easy. Actually, in the early grades, kids need a lot of reinforcement in those easy words. So don't worry, just be glad they're reading. Our website is www.stridestutor.org or call 246-9898.
Is Kayla, area manager.
And Big John, manager of the new Liquid Highway next to the Hyatt in downtown Greenville.
So, John, tell our friends what makes us different from other coffee shops.
Well, Kayla, the mission of Liquid Highway is to donate 100% of our profits after taxes to the Touch the Ground Foundation, with the goal of touching the ground in all 194 countries.
We're making a difference one cup at a time, and we hope you will join us.
Find out more about the mission of Liquid Highway
and Touch the Ground at liquidhighway.com.
I'm smelling coffee, birds are singing just outside.
Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome back into the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. We're talking about a book called Get Out of My Face, How to Reach Angry, Unmotivated Teens with Biblical Counsel. We're doing that with the author, Rick Horn. We'll get back to that conversation in just a second. I want to let you know that next week, another well-known author and with a new book out that is garnering a lot of interest will be with me on the broadcast as well. And that is, I'm speaking about author Michael Haykin. It's H-A-Y-K-I-N, Michael Haykin. And he has written a book called The Christian Lover. Now, just in time for Valentine's Day at the end of next week, this book deals with the sweetness of love and marriage in the letters of believers. And so here are a number of letters that have been written between a number of different believers, such as Martin Luther and his wife, and Jonathan Edwards and his wife, and so on. A number of those are all compiled together with some commentary from Michael Haykin in this book. And so it's very, very interesting to hear what they write. And I think it's going to be a very interesting discussion. I've got copies of those books that I'll be giving away on that broadcast as well. So some of the men out there listening in the listening audience can get out relatively inexpensive for this Valentine's Day, if you know what I mean. So that's next week on Thursday. And so be looking forward to that the following week. Just an extra heads up here. I'll be speaking with Dan Kruver again and some of the folks Dan's with Together for Adoption. But we'll also be speaking with some folks from Carolina Hope Christian Adoption Agency. They have an Ethiopian adoption program that is taking place. And there's going to be a live concert right here in Greenville over at Liquid Highway. And so we'll be talking about all of that information in not next week, but the following week with Dan Kruver. So a number of interesting things coming up on the broadcast. Let me tell you, I found out about the book we're talking about today, Get Out of My Face, because it was listed. In fact, I got an email from the folks out there at Westminster Books and Westminster Bookstore. That's www.wtsbooks.com. And I got an email saying, hey, we had this special introductory offer about Get Out of My Face, but we sold 1,000 copies in 12 hours. 1,000 copies in 12 hours. And so you can see there is a tremendous amount of interest in this book. I just went out there and just checked their website, by the way. If you want a copy of the book from out there, you can get it for $9.49. You can't beat that. That's a cheap investment. www.wtsbooks, that's plural, books.com, and you can go out there and get this book for only $9.49. You can get it for free if you've got a question or a comment, if you want to call into the radio broadcast today, 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. Back to our discussion with Dr. Rick Horn. Dr. Horn, just before the break, I wanted to drill down on something you said there just briefly here. Address the parent that says, you know, Dr. Horn, I know you don't want to use the word technique here, and we're talking about strategy, and we're certainly talking about biblical strategy, but, you know, am I giving in a little bit too much here to try to go this extra mile on trying to deal with my teen? I mean, they're under my authority. They should just have to listen to me. I shouldn't have to do this extra step here in order to get them to, you know, be in the right frame of mind to listen to what I have to say. How would you address a parent or a youth leader or somebody making that comment to you?
Well, I'd probably start by agreeing with them and saying you probably shouldn't have to do those things. But what do you want? Do you want a relationship with your teen? Do you want to help him or her with, do you want to reach them? Do you want to get to them? Is it your way that you want, or is it their heart that you want? And if what you want to do is communicate with your teen, if you want to get past the anger and through the bitterness or the resentment or the disinterest or whatever it may be, then you have a choice to make. Is what you have been doing working as a parent? Probably not. So there are some principles in the scriptures that say that if I'm going to love, I'm going to sacrifice. I mean, love always involves giving. It always involves the sacrifice. So one of the ways I can do that is by practicing these principles of respect, principles of communication, giving serious thought to how I communicate, what I say, but also how I say it.
So the thought that may be behind a question like that, that they're somehow compromising the gospel or compromising an innate authority that they have is just not true.
Not necessarily at all, because I mean, Jesus made the statement to his disciples, I have many things to say to you, but you're not able to bear them.
Mm-hmm.
Our kids are sinners, and their sin, their rebellion, their bitterness, their resentment, their disrespect, all of those things need to be addressed by the biblical godly parent. But they don't always have to be addressed instantly or all at the same time or immediately. There are other things about our teens that may give us access to them. Our kids, while they may be angry and bitter, also do make good decisions. They're not one bundle of only bad decisions. They make other choices. And if I'm, as a parent, able to acknowledge those things and recognize those other decisions as well, that can set the table for being able to talk about to get him to think about his other behaviors as well. But it shows that I'm respecting him as a whole person and not simply a slice of that person who happens to be a rebellious, sinful teenager. And they are that.
You mentioned
they do need to be addressed in that regard, but not necessarily at that instant.
You mentioned the word sinners there, which reminds me of one of your counterparts, co-laborers there, I think same publisher, Dave Harvey, of course, who wrote that book, When Sinners Say I Do.
Tremendous book, yeah.
Yes, we had him on the broadcast, and certainly tremendous insight there about in marriages, recognizing that both are sinners. Well, you have a similar statement in the book here about that as well. In fact, your number one point under the 8 biblical lessons for seeing our angry teens clearly, you write that teens, just like their parents and counselors, are sinners. So you're saying, first and foremost, we all have to realize that we are not infallible, we're not perfect, we bring our own baggage into these issues and situations that arise. Would you address that a little bit, please?
Boy, it's such an important thing. I used the illustration in the beginning there about, and we've all heard of surgeries like this that have been reported where somebody goes in the hospital for a gallbladder operation and they wake up in the next, in the recovery room with a shorter left leg because somebody read the chart wrong and instead of a gallbladder being taken out, they had a foot amputated. A misdiagnosis can lead to tremendously serious consequences. And, to understand that our kids make their choices because they're sinners and that we make choices because we're sinners gives us tremendous opportunities to avoid being defensive. We don't have to pretend that our kids are perfect. We don't have to pretend that we are. We have great hope because that's who Christ came to deal with. He came to help sinners. Mm-hmm. And there are tremendous opportunities then to be able to reach across the table to our son or daughter and acknowledge right from the outset that I'm not coming to you as a paragon of virtue, but I'm coming as somebody who is a sinner just like you are.
Mm.
And whether we use those terms or not, that spirit and that attitude is going to give us a clear lens to really be able to see our team.
You zero in that same heading, under that same heading, you zero in on the emotion of anger, and you quote from James chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. We're going through an exhaustive study right now, expository study of the book of James, and so these James passages really jump out to me. But James says this in 4, 1 and 2. It says, what causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and you do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. And so James emphasizes this idea of our passions, you know, being out of control. And
that's right.
Because we're not getting our way, we then become angry. And again, you're emphasizing here, if I read this right, you're emphasizing that that can take place on both sides of the equation, both with the parents and with the angry teen.
Absolutely. And it's that It's that passion that really gives us the foundation for being able to see change take place in our team. Because our teens, when they're angry, when they're so-called unmotivated, when they're just disinterested in anything, they are still, I know some counselors who say they've never met an unmotivated teen. I think I would agree with that. They're not motivated to do what you want or what God wants or what I want or the pastor wants, but they're motivated.
Mm-hmm.
They're making decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And they are going to make choices, even if it's anger, as the James passage is talking about, because of what they want, as James makes clear.
I see. In your second heading there, you say that, and this is kind of the flip side of this maybe, but that teens can be respected as young adults. Now, building respect into this relationship, into this situation, is critical, isn't it?
It is absolutely critical. One of the reasons teens don't go to the adults is because they don't really believe they are respected.
Mm-hmm.
They believe, and when I'm talking about being respected, I'm talking about, at least in part, being recognized as somebody who can make decisions, somebody who can make their own choices. And one of the strategies that I encourage in this, and I believe the whole book of Proverbs presumes it, it assumes is that young adults, young people, and the book of Proverbs talks about a young adult as a person from the time of puberty till about the age of 30. And young adults have the ability to make choices. And if you think through the book of Proverbs, the whole range of ethical and moral choices that are put at the disposal of the readers of the book of Proverbs are written to young people that are called young adults by Solomon and the other writers of Proverbs. So to respect them and to communicate the fact to a teenager that he can make choices. One of the things that I often say to teens when I'm talking to them, especially angry teens, is you don't have to change anything. You really don't have to change anything. I'm not here to change you because I can't change you. I can only change one person. And then I ask the teen, who do you think that is? And he says, well, yourself. I said, that's exactly right. And I've got enough trouble trying to change me. And I'm not going to try and change you? I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I can't change me. Only you can change you, and I can change me. So I want to respect that. And if you as a teenager do not want to change, you do not have to. Now, that scares some parents to hear that. Might scare some administrators to hear that, too. But the fact is, we all know that's true.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that doesn't mean parents should not bring consequences into the lives of their teens if they don't choose to make wise choices. We are obligated to do that as parents. We must bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. But that's different from saying, I'm going to control you and you can't make a difference. You can't make choices.
Mm-hmm.
But to affirm that the teenager can make choices is a powerful, powerful way of communicating respect to the kid. It says to him, well, you see me as somebody who can choose to go your way or choose not to go your way. Instead of every time I hear you, it's just going to be you talking to me and trying to talk me into doing what you want me to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way the angry teen is typically thinking.
Now, if that statement that you make seems so startling, you know, where you say, just acknowledge the basic fact, listen, we can't make them do anything.
That's right.
Have to see this for themselves.
That is startling, isn't it?
If that's true, when we come back from the break, I want to have you address then what has been the current way that we've been doing it. If it's startling to us to hear that acknowledgement right now, have we been trying to get some sort of outward conformity when we really haven't dealt with the heart? We'll talk about that when we come back from the break. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.
Here's Dr. Everett of Strides Nonprofit Tutoring with another academic tip.
Sometimes a student has a reading assignment that's just too hard. Here's a way to help a child get through tough material. Trade words. You read one, he reads one. It not only helps the child make it through the text, but the student reads every one of the words along the way. It's a great bonding time, too, as you support your child. Our website is stridestutor.org or call 246-9898.
It's great pizza for a great price. So pack up the family and head over to Speedy B's near Walmart on Woodruff Road in Greenville. At Speedy B's, you'll find friendly faces and at least a dozen pizzas out at all times. Or you can order a pizza and they'll make it fresh just for you at no extra cost. So visit Speedy B's today.
Hi, this is Pastor Kevin Bowling, and I want to take the time to thank John, Ruth, Carlos, and the good folks over there at Speedy B's Pizza for their support of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
It's Kayla, area manager.
And Big John, manager of the new Liquid Highway next to the Hyatt in downtown Greenville.
So, John, tell our friends what makes us different from other coffee shops.
Well, Kayla, the mission of Liquid Highway is to donate 100% of our profits after taxes to the Touch the Ground Foundation, with the goal of touching the ground in all 194 countries.
We're making a difference one cup at a time, and we hope you will join us.
Find out more about the mission of Liquid Highway
and Touch the Ground at liquidhighway.com.
I'm smelling coffee, birds are singing just outside.
What is the greatest concern in the life of every Christian? It's our standing before God, our judge. Justification through faith alone has been the centerpiece of our faith since the Reformation. Right with God, the doctrine of justification, is the theme for the Philadelphia Conference on Reformed Theology. Speakers include Jerry Bridges, Al Mohler, and more. To register, visit alliancenet.org or call 1-800-488-1888.
You found it. You're locked into Chris at Talk 660.
Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome back into the second half of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast today. You just heard a minute ago the ad running for the Philadelphia Conference on Reformed Theology, 2009 version of that, what's coming right here to Greenville. The ad that was running is the generic ad for the four different events that they're having across the country. They're having one in Sacramento, they're having one in Grand Rapids, Philadelphia, and then also one in Greenville as well. That Greenville one will take place on April 17th through the 19th. It's going to be held down at Second Pres in downtown Greenville. I was just speaking to my good buddy Mel Duncan, and he was saying that the registrations are going along just fine there. You don't want to miss out on this opportunity. Jerry Bridges is going to be right here in town. Steve Lawson, Rick Phillips, the pastor down there at Second Pres, but also an Alliance member, and Derek Thomas will be right here in Greenville, right down at Second Pres there for a couple of days, April 17th through the 19th. I think it's going to be Steve Lawson who is putting on the pre-conference, which will be about John Calvin, now that 2009 is the 500th anniversary of John Calvin's birth, and so he'll be doing that special pre-conference. You don't want to miss this. This is a great opportunity. The amount of money you're saving and not having to travel to some other area, one of these other cities that is mentioned, is just a real blessing for us here in the Greenville area. Let me give you a couple ways that you can go out there to register for this event. I've already got six or eight people from my church registered. We're going to be there. We'll be in that front row, by the way. No, but we'll be there. This is going to be great. And let me give you a couple ways to contact the folks there at the Alliance. That number is 1-800-956-2644. That's 800-956-2644. Or you can go out to AllianceNet.org. That's AllianceNet.org. And you can find out all the registration information out there on that site. Back to our conversation. And today we've been speaking with Dr. Rick Horn about his book, Get Out of My Face, How to Reach Angry, Unmotivated Teens with Biblical Counsel. If you're just tuning in, I've got books, free books. And so if you want to call in with your question or your comment, I'd be happy to put one in your hand. That number here is 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. Give us a call with a quick comment or question, and I'll go ahead and put your name on one of these books. I want to thank the folks out at WTSBooks.com as well for providing these giveaways for the radio program today. Let's go to back to our discussion with Dr. Rick Horn. And Dr. Horn, just before the break, we were talking about respecting teens. And I think that this is so important because I think it has so much more of a broader application. It's certainly seen there in the way that we have typically approached addressing young people who are basically unresponsive or unmotivated, as your book says, or angry, these types of things. But I think that this has just been for a broad characterization, this is the way that we approach a lot of issues in evangelicalism. When somebody disagrees with us, we either name call or come at them with an angry spirit or, you know, just a belligerent way of approaching them. This has kind of become the de facto way of dealing with issues. And I think your book, addressing it specifically, the teens, certainly has a lot of application across the board as well. What do you think?
Well, I think so, too. I think the important thing here isn't that we feel respect as a parent or as a youth pastor or as a counselor toward a teen. That doesn't go even to first base. The teen must understand that we respect them. In other words, it's not enough for me to say, well, I respect you. So what? I mean, parents have been saying, yeah, I respect you. You know, The teen has to sense that, and the way they're going to sense it is by me validating certain biblical truths about them that I've been accustomed to ignoring.
Mm-hmm.
Truths such as the fact that they are their own person. They can make their own decisions. Truths such as they can make good choices and have made good choices. Yes, they've messed up, they've made some bad choices, but that's not all of them. They make good choices too. And one of the things that we often do with teenagers is in counsel, the approach that I'm encouraging in this book differs from what we typically do is that we typically approach things from a problem-solving basis. In other words, we're asking the teen or saying to the teen, here's your problem and here's what you need to do to change. And that doesn't communicate a whole lot of acceptance and respect.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, what it communicates is I have an agenda for your life and you're going to change and meet my expectations.
Mm-hmm.
And with anybody that's an angry teen, as you know, most teens, they want what they want when they want it. They want to live in a way that gives them freedom and helps them to be who they want to be.
Mm-hmm.
What this approach does is instead of being problem-oriented, it is solutions-oriented. And basically, and that's the way the Book of Proverbs is, it has pithy statements, not big explanations, but pithy statements all the way through it about solutions to various kinds of problems. And what it's doing is getting teenagers to think in terms of what works to produce the kind of desires that really they do happen to have. And then when we can focus on their solutions or on things that work for them, that have worked in the past, that have given them some of the things that they really do want. They want independence. They want freedom. They want to be able to make their own choices. They want to be able to set their own schedules. Well, when have you been able to do that in the past? Tell me a time when I allowed you to do that. Okay, now what were you living like then?
Mm-hmm.
So if you live like that again, I wonder if that will have the same kind of impact.
I want to get to that whole strategy there again.
Mm-hmm.
I use the word strategy, and like you were saying,
Okay.
You build them around the idea of the doctrine of common grace. I want to define that, and then I want to talk about it. But before we do, Sandra from Greenville has got a question for you relating to grandparents. Let's go to Sandra. Welcome in, Sandra.
Hi, Sandra.
Hey, Sandra.
Yes.
Oh, go right ahead with your question today.
Well, I was listening to the program, and it sounds really wonderful if we can reach these teenagers. But how can grandparents benefit from this book or use it?
Well, I believe so. If you deal with angry grandkids, I have nine of them. I'm not that they're all angry all the time,
well,
but I have nine grandchildren.
A lot,
but and we think we're only halfway finished. We think we've got another nine coming. So, in the course of time, but yes, absolutely. Actually, the principles here are really useful in our communication with any angry people or unmotivated people, or in fact. In general living, because they're biblical principles that can be applied widely, not just with angry kids.
Mm-hmm.
Sandra, did that help? And we've got a book here.
Yes.
Okay, we've got a book waiting for you at
well,
the.
Thank you, because I'm going to get it, and then I'll read it and pass it on to my daughter and see if we can't try to read it.
Wonderful. I hope it does help.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank
you,
Sandra, for your call today. We really appreciate that. There are a number of grandparents out there that are involved now in raising their grandchildren. They're taking a bigger role in that. That's just the nature of our society today. We see quite a few grandparents. In fact, I was just in a conversation with one just the other day and about the subject of child raising, but from a much younger child. We're going to come back and talk about this idea of common grace when we come back from the break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.
A compelling mix of ministry, public policy, lifestyle, and lighthearted fun on the phone. Janet Parshall's America.
For a lot of people, they're scared to death. They'd rather go to the mission field than to bring any kind of spiritual influence into the workplace. And we know we're being truthful here. Why is that?
We're excited to have her. She's Janet Parshall, and it's Janet Parshall's America. Right here, weekday afternoons from 2 to 5 on Christian Talk 660.
Hi, I'm Ken Presley, a certified financial counselor. At Ken Presley & Associates, we're opening new locations, and I would like to personally invite you to schedule your appointment for tax preparation. Ken Presley & Associates has no franchise fees or huge overhead, so we can pass those savings directly to you. Mention this ad and receive $25 off of your personal tax preparation. Ken Presley & Associates, your tax professionals. Online at kenpresley.net or call 908-4628. That's 908-4628.
Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome back into the last segment of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast today. That means you get about 10 minutes. If you want to make a quick call for a brief comment or a question about our topic today, we're talking about teens. We're talking about how to reach angry, unmotivated teens with biblical counsel. We're doing so with Dr. Rick Horn, who is the author of a book called Get Out of My Face. It really has been well received out on the Christian publishing sites. Let me tell you where you could get the book if you want to go out and buy a copy. $9.49 right now out on www.wtsbooks.com. That's wtsbooks.com. You can also go out to Shepherd's Press as well, and they have the book for sale out there. I still have two free copies for you here in the studio. If you want to give a brief call with a question or a comment, I'll be happy to put your name on one of those. 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. Let me tell you also that all of the radio broadcasts, if you just joined in, you said, man, I wish I would have been listening from the beginning of the broadcast. The radio broadcast is archived out on the website at www.knowingthetruth.org. That's www.knowingthetruth.org. And you can go out there, and there's MP3 downloads. In fact, just about 26,000 people have gone out there and downloaded copies of the broadcast. Not that particular broadcast, but all the broadcasts that we've done. And they've done so in 40 different countries in every single one of the 50 states. And so just a lot of folks are going out there and getting the free downloads from the broadcast, and so you can take advantage of that. Dr. Horn, just before the break, we talked about the idea of common grace. Would you give me a brief definition, a good working definition of what you mean by common grace?
Sure. Jesus illustrated it when he said the Father makes it rain on the just and on the unjust in the Gospel of Matthew. He causes the sun to shine on the just and the unjust. And basically it's God's goodness, his general goodness to all people. And he, in his general goodness, allows even unbelievers, even the most wicked unbelievers, to still make some good judgments, some good decisions, to do some things that can produce an orderliness about life. And I mean, whether it's a Roman governor or a Roman ruler, emperor, who causes roads to be built and so that the gospel eventually goes across those roads to various places in the Roman world, or whether it happens to be any variety, an educator who is teaching history or English or some other, or science, unbelievers can think. Mm-hmm. And the reason they can think, and they can make decisions, I mean, every decision and every part of them is riddled with sin. We are all sinners, and it affects all of us, but we're not as fully, totally sinful as we could be. We can all be worse than we are. Mm-hmm. At least as the scriptures seem to paint that picture. Mm-hmm. And common grace is God's restraining hand, even in our angry teenagers, that allows us to recognize things about them that are positive. Mm-hmm. And decisions that they have made and they have the capability of making, which are constructive. Which I call in the book wise choices, or biblically principled wise. They want wise things underneath even some of the sinful things that they express themselves for. Mm. These are called wise wants, described in the scripture or in the book.
So you and I, we both, I think, you know, from your training here in the back of the book, it says that you were trained at Westminster Theological Seminary with writing for Shepherd Press, and that we both hold to a reform perspective. And so obviously the depravity of man is a key linchpin in the whole understanding of the Reformed faith.
Yeah.
And yet what we're saying here, just for our listeners' sake, I'm saying this, that we're saying that holding to the idea of the depravity of man, the doctrine of common grace does not do damage to the doctrine of the depravity of man. We still acknowledge that. We're just saying that God in his infinite grace gives something called common grace as well, that it's not meritorious in the life of the people. It doesn't earn them salvation in any way, shape, or form. It's just out of the mercy and grace of our all-loving, wonderful God that he does these things on the behalf of us. Even while we're enemies against him, still allows us to participate in some of his blessings and benefits, general blessings upon this earth. So that's what we're talking about. I'm going to go right back to that, Doctor, but I got two calls lined up, so let's go to them real quick.
Okay.
And then we'll come back. I think the first one here is Deb in Inman, South Carolina. Deb, go right ahead with your question or comment today. Number two, line two, I'm sorry.
Yes, I just want to say that I think this book is very timely. As a mother who's already raised one teenager and has another one coming up, you realize as a Christian that you don't want conformity for conformity's sake. You want them to look to Christ for their decisions. And I myself have gone the route of just being very authoritative and thinking that's going to work. And many times that doesn't work, because our children have to be able to stand on their feet before the Lord and before the world without us so-called cracking the whip. So I do think this book is a very timely book.
Deb, that's an excellent, excellent comment, because I think that that has been the methodology that we've used so far, you know, a Pharaoh taskmaster type of approach. You will do this. And, you know, the old age-old story, you know, about the boy that gets spanked and then he, you know, finally sits down. The father tells him to sit down, and then the boy says, I may be sitting on the outside, but I'm standing on the inside.
Oh, yeah.
We want to go deeper than that. We want to really reach out to the heart, and I think that Dr. Horn in this book is giving us some ways to be able to do that. Dr. Horn, your comment?
Yeah, I was just going to say that I think, Grace, you raised such an important point, because, and one of the things that the Book of Proverbs does is it lays consequences out very, very plainly in front of young people. And instead of us imposing the consequences, what the Book of Proverbs does is it presents the teenager, the young person, with the fact that his choices have consequences.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I try to do in the book is show parents how they can allow the teenager to confront himself and with the fact that things can either remain terrible the way they are right now, or they can get better, but it really has to do with the choices that I'm going to make. It's one of the things that I've said in the book is that this approach is probably one of the most confrontational counseling approaches with teenagers that I know of. But the confrontation is not between me and my son or daughter. It's between my son or daughter and himself or herself. And this puts the kid in the position of having to be really an awkward spot, because now I've got to make a decision. Am I going to keep inflicting this pain on myself, or am I going to make a change? And so I hope it does put that kind of resource in your hands, Grace.
Great, Deb. Great question. Thank you very much for calling. We got a book set aside for you right here at the studio, okay?
Thank you.
You're welcome. Up next is Sarah from Greenville. Sarah, go right ahead with your question or your comment today.
Hi. I have a coworker who's having such a hard time with her teenage son. He is being rude and disrespectful, breaking curfew, lying and stealing, and the things that she's going through with her son and the severity of them, I didn't have to go through with my son at that age. And I need to know how to help her. I do pray for her, and but she is almost mentally at her wit's end.
Sarah, well, first of all, we're going to go ahead and give you a copy of this book. We're right near the end of the broadcast, so to restart over with the principles that we had here just won't be possible. But let us go ahead and give you a free copy of this book, and then you can read through it, and it'll show you the principles here about how you can help your friend to help her teenager. Does that sound good?
That sounds wonderful.
Okay.
I wish you the best with it.
Okay.
Thank you.
We're going to put your copy right at the front desk, and it'll be out there right here, 2420 Wade Hampton Boulevard. It's the studios of WLFJ, Christian Talk 660. And so you're just stop by and pick up if you won one of the books today. I'll tell you what, the number of people are now calling for the book. If you're listening and you go, man, I wish I would have called. I'd really love a copy of that. I'll go ahead and give you – I got one more copy here. It's the one I've been working from for the interview today, but I'll go ahead and give that one away if you call within the next couple of minutes. We'll go ahead and put your name on it. Dr. Horn, we've got to wrap this up, unfortunately, because we're just out of time.
Well, it's been a pleasure to talk to you.
Would you give some closing comments here? You know, we set up a Common Grace, but we didn't get a chance to fully develop that. But just in your closing comments, how does that Common Grace going to become essential then in how we deal with teens?
Well, one of the most important features that I've wanted to communicate in this book was not simply how to approach the teen. That's important. But what we do with them when we make the connection. This approach does tend to disarm angry teens. It wins them. It tends to get very rapid change into operation, because what it does is it helps kids identify some of what they want underneath the rebellious wants that they have, and then actually achieve them. But the goal of that change is to build a rapport so that we as dads and moms, pastors, youth pastors, counselors, can then go to the heart, because enduring change is going to be because there's heart change. And we need to take the kids to the cross, but you can't start with the cross with that angry kid. You've got to start with where he is, and that's usually the surface of his life. Some people have called this form of counseling outside-in counseling, because what you do with a teenager, you start with the outside and you work once the relationship's built to the inside. Mm-hmm. And then once you're in the inside, you can go back to the outside with a whole new set of motives for change and for why the students do what they do, the young people do what they do. But we have to, all the way from the very beginning of a conversation, our goal must be, by God's grace, to get to the heart and help them to embrace Jesus Christ.
Oh, very timely, I think, and comments here. I think we got time for one more quick, brief comment. Is it Karina? Is that it? Karina from Greenville is on the line. Karina, go right ahead.
Yeah, as I find not only with working with teenagers, but you know, starting with children from 3 years old and up that display anger, that if you can help them to see their heart, that they're able to just think through that and get over their anger to a point. So I think the book is very, very timely.
Well, good comments, Karina, and I agree. I love the word that Dr. Horn just used a moment ago. He said disarm, and I think that's so important that we've got to disarm, you know, and have a truce there to, at least to be able to talk about the scriptures, and so that's so important. We got a copy at the front desk with your name on it, Karina, and so just stop by the studio, 2420 Wade Hampton Boulevard right here in Greenville. And Dr. Horn, thank you again for being with us on the broadcast. We really appreciate it.
You're very welcome. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. Again, next week, we'll be speaking with Michael Haken, the Christian lover. Don't miss it.
You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth.